Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all sound better when you two of us.
Doesn't the choir look good this morning?
I tried.
Doesn't the choir look good this morning? Thank you very much. All right. A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We would like to find out who is in worship today. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us any contact information if you choose, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started today. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. I'll draw your attention to a couple of them. Number one, children's time. We are having children's time today, right down here. Right after the first hymn, invite all the kids to come see me for just a few moments. Also today is our Fall Family Festival and Treat Street. That starts at 4 o'clock today. The inflatables, it's going to be a little bit different. They're usually out here on the grass. We're actually going to put them in the gym this time. And, of course, the sunshine is beautiful today. That's why we're doing it inside. So anyway, there you go with planning. So all the inflatables are going to start at 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock is when Treat Street opens. Treat Street, we have about 15 or so doors that will be decorated throughout the church. We're inviting friends, neighbors, community to come, and they will go from door to door and play some games and get some candy. At 5 o'clock, those doors will open. Also at 5 o'clock, there will be a hot dog supper that will be served in Smith Hall. And so we invite all of you to come out and to enjoy just time together. And then from 5 until 6:30, Treat Street will open. And then 7 o'clock, the inflatables will shut down. So it's going to be a great, great afternoon. We look forward to a great time together. A couple other things. The youth will be headed to the bus station ministry this Wednesday. Also this Wednesday, our pit stop, our Parents in Touch ministry, will continue their conversation or start a new conversation on Baptist identity. It will start this Wednesday, and so we want you to make note of that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Anything else? Krista always has one. Krista? You're okay. Krista is okay. That's the announcement.
Book club
is tomorrow.
And we will have Bible study.
Anything else? Oh, that was it. Okay. So book club, Bible study. Tomorrow night, our softball team plays at 6:30 at Washington Park. There's lots of things going on. We would love for you to be a part of all these things. Let's see. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We appreciate the information you just gave us on the pew pad. We would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Usher will recognize you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet will be a letter from our pastor welcoming you to church today. Also, a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our congregation. So thank you for being a part of worship today. There's always an excitement that comes when I come through the children's department or the preschool department and they know that Treat Street is coming. There is an excitement about an anticipation of what's happening. The inflatables are going to be in the gym and we get to do all that fun stuff. Are you and I excited in anticipation of coming into the presence of the Almighty God? That is what worship is about. Being excited to be in His presence with other believers. That's why we come together each week during this time to celebrate what He has done and what He's continuing to do in our lives. Are you excited for what we will be able to do during worship today? We are bridging the gap between time and all eternity at this moment. Let's prepare for worship. Thank you. pray together. Father, we want to give you glory this morning for who you are and what you have done. The forgiveness that you provide through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, a cross that we should have taken. He took my place. And so we come to give you glory this morning through our words, through our actions, through our attitudes, through our thoughts. We give you glory. Come in this place. We beg of you. For when you are here, worship can truly begin. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, invite the kids to come on down. Right, it's good to see everybody this morning. Now, I have a... Oh,
wait for me.
I'm waiting. I like cowboy. Jared's walking. Thank you, buddy. Now, crisscross applesauce right there. Now, I have a question. Have you ever seen somebody... like at school, start crying and they're like really sad? Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen somebody sad at school and they're crying and they're upset? Rebecca, have you ever seen somebody? Yeah, is it, what do we say to somebody when they're crying? Sorry? Sorry is a good word sometimes. Do we always know? Whisper to the teacher, I didn't do it. That's... I didn't make that up. I didn't make that up. Did I make that up? No, I didn't make that up. That's not from personal experience. That was one of the kids who said that. Anyway. Sometimes when we see somebody who's sad, we don't know what to tell them. Sometimes, right? There are sometimes things that are happening and we don't know what to say. There's a story in the Bible. There's a guy named Moses. Anybody know Moses? Everybody's heard about Moses. He wasn't the one with the boat, right? Who was the one with the boat? Noah. That's right. Moses, he was in charge of a bunch of people. And there was, and God wanted him to bring all those people out of Egypt. But you know what? Moses, he had lots of issues, like a lot of us do. And one of those issues, he just couldn't talk right. He said, God, I know you want me to do something, but I just don't know how to talk good. Sometimes you and I, we don't know the things to say when somebody's hurt or they're sad. Just like Moses, he didn't know what to say sometimes. And here's the thing. God said, you just do what I'm asking you to do. And here's what I want you to learn. Here's what I want you to learn. When you have somebody sad and you don't know what to say at school, can you do something for them? What is something we could do for somebody who's sad? You can smile. Can you give them a toy that you can? I know that they like playing with that truck. I'm going to go get that truck and bring it to them. Do you think that's something you can do to make them happy? Did you have to say anything? You can do something. Can you help somebody feel better by doing something? Can you do that? You think so? I think you can. Just like Moses, we don't always know the words to say, but we know the things that we can do to show people that God loves them. Will you help me do that this week? Show somebody that God loves them? Will you do that? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that sometimes we don't always know the words to say, but you are right there with us. And we can still do what you want us to do, even when we're scared about what to say. Give us the courage to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go back to your seat now.
2 weeks ago, when we recognized the Sunday school teachers, I failed to mention a couple of things. I know that none of you ever has that problem. But one was the list you received was for last Sunday school year, from September 2013 through August 2014. And the other thing is, I did mention that we were giving a donation to the Backpack Ministry and to the Soup Kitchen in New York City in honor of some of our teachers. What I failed to mention was that we're also giving a donation to Meals on Wheels here in our city, and also to the Soup Kitchen in honor of those who teach our adult classes. So I forgot to mention that last Sunday. And as I said, that teachers do not expect to be recognized, but we wanted to do so, and we wanted to give them a small, tangible token of our appreciation. And this is what we gave them, and it helped them to get a jump start on their Halloween. This is for our teachers. And the poem that was attached reads, "Thank you for the mounds of work you do and the extra mile that you go to bring joy to your class each Sunday. You are a true mint, and we are glad you are the teacher now and later. You really are a lifesaver and worth 100 grand. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for our Sunday school teachers, for our staff, and for all the people here at College Park, and all the ministries that they're involved in here in our church, throughout our community, in our state, nation, and even parts of the world. I thank you for this body of believers and the mission ministry spirit that is in this place. You have blessed us, dear Lord, in so many ways. Help us to use those blessings, our time, our talents, and our financial resources to reach out to others, to help those in need, and to show to other people your love that we have been shown. Bless these gifts that are given today, and may we use them as you would have us to, as we seek to be the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
One of the things I appreciate most about the Bible, apart from the fact that it's God's Word, is that it always lays it right out there when it's talking about the people in the Bible, contained within the Bible, the heroes, if you will, of our faith. The Bible puts it out there, the good, the bad, the ugly. It just puts it right out there for you. Unlike today's reporting in the news, there is no spin whatsoever in Scripture. It tells you the great things that people did by God's power. It also tells you the faults, the failures of people who were trying to do their best and just failed at it. And that's why it constantly amazes me how we as Christians today think about the heroes of the past. We always seem to think that they were completely different from us. You know, it's like we think they must have had super faith and unbelievable talents, and that's why God was able to use them the way he did. But the truth of the matter is, they were much more like us than we would want to think sometimes. They realized, though, that they had an extraordinary God that they served, and we serve the same extraordinary God, and we have the benefit of hindsight, so it makes me wonder what our excuse is. You know, God wants to use us in the same way. And that's why we've been in this message entitled, Be the Message. Because God has designed that the good news should take on flesh and blood, yours and mine. Our flesh and blood, the good news should take that on so that we can communicate God's love. And for week number one, when we started the series, we talked about how the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. So today, God is communicating his word through our lives. We are to be the message. And as we kind of wrap this series up today, I want us to look at the character of one of these Bible heroes, these great men and women of faith, one of the men of faith, and explore how he may have been feeling, how he may have been struggling during the time that God was using him to be the message of his day. And then maybe compare that to how we experience life, how we experience God's calling. And I'm talking about Moses. Talking about Moses. And I'm guessing, and it's an educated guess, okay? I'm guessing that he had kind of the same insecurities, the same kind of fears, the same feelings that you and I have when God calls us. And as we study his life, we realize we have a lot in common with him. We really do. And from Moses' experience, we'll learn how to activate our mission in the world today. Now, when you think of Moses, a lot of times we say the word Moses or the name Moses. If you're over the age of 40, usually you think about Charlton Heston, don't you? I mean, you have this image. That's what Moses looks like. I mean, that you look it up in the dictionary. That's his picture there. You got Charlton Heston raising the staff, you know? And you probably think that he was this super spiritual, extraordinarily talented, fearless leader who always knew exactly what to do. And if that's your opinion, you haven't read Scripture very carefully. You really haven't. There are times when he was completely discouraged and gave up. There were times when he had absolutely no clue what to do next. There were times when he got so angry at the people he was leading that he blew up and just went off on them, you know? There were times when he even doubted God. He questioned God. And what I'm saying is he was more ordinary. He was more like us than we want to think. So if God could use him to be his message and lead his chosen people out of slavery after hundreds of years in bondage, that's a comfort to me. Because if God can use him for that kind of task, maybe God can use me too. Maybe he can use me too. The same God can use you to do some extraordinary things in our day and time. I believe that with all my heart. And if you go back, and we will, we're going to kind of look at the story of Moses. And in that, I hope that you recognize that God indeed had a plan for his life from the very beginning, just as he does for yours and mine. Now, because we're different people, it's going to be a different plan. But it's all about God. It's all from God. Moses was called to deliver God's people from slavery. And his life was groomed for that. God has a plan for your life, and you've been groomed for that. If you go back and look at his life as it unfolded, Moses was born, as we know, a Hebrew slave. And through divine intervention and providence, he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He became the Prince of Egypt, which led to a movie by that name. But every time he saw his Hebrew brothers and sisters being persecuted, mistreated as slaves, it literally made him sick. He couldn't sleep at night. He knew that God had called him to deliver his people. And one day he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew slave, and he kind of took matters into his own hands. You know, God, I know you're busy, so I'm going to help you out. You've called me to deliver, and I'm going to start with that guy. And so he killed the Egyptian slave master. And you know the story. Everybody finds out about it. Moses had to run for his life, and he ran about as far in the desert as he could get. And it was there in the desert that it all began to kind of sink in with him. He had lost everything. Lost everything. He lost his dream. He'd lost his wealth. He'd lost his position. You know, and it was in that desert experience that God began to prepare him for the mission that had. Moses thought he had lost everything. God chuckled because he knew that wasn't the case. Even when Moses thought he had blown it, God used the desert to prepare Moses. You know, there were no doubt times in the desert when Moses felt like God, you must be a million miles away. He must have felt like that at times. And there may be some of you this morning feel exactly the same way. God, I just don't feel your presence. It's like you're a million miles away. Maybe you even doubt whether God is real at all. You know, I hope by the time we finish, God will speak to you. Then perhaps when Moses thought he could never be used by God again, he has the burning bush experience. He has a personal encounter with God. In Exodus 3, verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, if a burning bush shows up, it's pretty attention-getting. When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses replied, here I am. Here I am. It got Moses' attention. Yes. But notice that God called Moses by name. God was saying to Moses, I still know your name. I know where you are. I know where you are in life. I've been with you every single step of the way. Even in the desert, even here in the desert, even though you haven't felt me, I'm there with you. I have a personal and purposeful plan for your life. Just as he looks at us today and says, I know you. I know your name. I have a personal and purposeful plan for your life. And as I looked at this, I thought, you know, there seems to be an order here on how God works with us. In the life of Moses, there were three steps he kind of took him through to help him activate his mission in life. And I want us to look at those. The first step is to embrace God's calling. I embrace God's calling on my life. Look at what God's call for Moses was in Exodus chapter 3. Verse 8, so I have come to rescue them and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. You see, God is fulfilling a promise to protect and provide for his people, and he's fulfilling that through Moses. And I think he wants us to remember that as his children, we have a place of influence in this world, the people we call our circle of influence. We have a place of influence. And through his calling in our life and through his power in our lives, we have influence on other people. And this influence is not something that we use for selfish gain, but rather for who? For him. For him. That's right. For God. For his kingdom. I am called to influence. You are called to influence people for Jesus Christ. And God wants to expand that influence if you will use it for him and his purpose. Our goal should not be to impress people. We're called to influence people. You impress people with image, like we talked about last week. You impress people with image. You influence with integrity. And that's the secret. With Moses, he realized that his call was to influence and to lead the people through influencing them, even though he didn't feel worthy of it or even able to do the task, as Jeff shared just a few minutes ago. He didn't feel worthy. Didn't feel like I could do this, which leads us to, after we embrace God's calling, sometimes what happens, we go right to the next step, and that is giving excuses. We need to stop that. We need to stop giving excuses. You know, when we realize that God has called us to our destiny and to influence others for Him, usually we do what Moses did, and that was object. I've got all these excuses, Lord. He had a whole list. We've got a whole list. Look at one of the first ones He offered in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to be in Exodus 3 and 4, so if you want to kind of stay with me there. That's God calling for somebody. I'm not sure who it is. He wants you to turn off your phone. That's what He's going to do. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I'm clumsy with words. Now, we give God this excuse, maybe not in those exact words, but we're going to call this, I have too many faults excuse. And it goes kind of like this. God, You don't want to use me. I've got too many problems in my life right now. God, You don't want to use me. I've got too many faults. I'm not perfect, God. I know that really comes as a revelation for Him. God, I'm not perfect. I've got too many things going. I'm not talented enough. I don't think You can use me for that. I've got faults and problems and failures. You want to use me? No, no. And Moses said, God, You've got the wrong guy. I don't speak very well. I'm clumsy with words. We think he had some sort of speech impediment. Perhaps he stuttered or stammered, or we don't know. Who knows? But he says, God, I can't talk. I can't do this. There was a survey I recently read that found out the top fear, number one fear of Americans, is the fear of public speaking. I can relate to that. It outranked the fear of death, which is saying something for Americans that are consumed with the here and now. And I got to thinking, maybe God calls us to do things that we can't do in and of our own strength so that we have to depend on Him and His strength. What God calls you to, He equips you for. But Moses, he gave that excuse, God. I've got issues. I can't do that. But he wasn't through yet. He had another excuse. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and they say, the Lord didn't appear to you? Well, this excuse kind of really boils down to, God, what will people think? If I do that, what will people think? We don't say it like that because we know that it doesn't sound very noble when we say it that way, but that's really the deal. You know, we're overly concerned with what other people think about us, perhaps more concerned with what people think than what God thinks. Yikes. And if I surrender to Christ, what will they think about me at work? If I really do what God wants me to do, what will they think about me at school? What about my reputation? And many a person has failed to walk into their destiny because they're just worried about what other people think about them. Let me tell you, when you lose the fear of what people think, you gain your destiny. You're set free in life. It's as simple as that. But until you lose the fear of people, I believe you'll never walk into the plan that God has for you. I really believe that. Moses said, what if they don't believe me? What if they don't believe me? What were people going to think? The third excuse he had, which, by the way, these are not in the chronological order, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Moses here is using the good old false humility excuse. It goes like this, you know. We like to give this one to God because the others sound quite like not so noble. But in this particular case, we think God's going to buy it, you know. It's more spiritual sounding. God, you know, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not worthy of the calling that You've placed on my life, you know. I'm just a weak Christian. It's not about me, God. It's not about me. Pick someone else who's more deserving. And God says, wow, really? It's not in there, but I think that's what he said. Really, Moses? You know? It's really saying, God, let me give You this spiritual excuse that I'm so humble that I can get off the hook. And God says, no. You got it all wrong. You've got the wrong focus completely. You've got the wrong questions. You're saying all the wrong things. Moses said, "Who am I?" And God says, "Precisely. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about who I am." And we have to acknowledge we can't do anything apart from Christ. The Bible says, "I can do, I can endure, I can do, I can accomplish all things through Christ." Focus on that. God was saying to Moses, and he says to us, change your focus. "But who am I, Lord?" And God says, "I don't want to hear that anymore. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am. And I have a destiny. I have a plan for your life. And I want you to step up and walk into it, because you can do all things. You can endure all things. Accomplish all things when our focus is where it needs to be." Well, Moses wasn't done. He thought another one up pretty quickly. He's a lot like us, more than we want to think. And he keeps thinking of these over and over again, but excuse number four rolls off pretty quick in Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." This is a classic, I'll call it, "I'll sit this one out and let someone else do it" excuse. And we give that to God a lot. "I hate to deprive someone else of this opportunity for service, Lord. So I'm going to let this one do. I'm going to let them do this one. God, I hate to deprive this person of exercising their spiritual gifts. So therefore, I'm going to let them do it." Authenticity and action go together. Authenticity and action, they're two sides of the same coin. If your faith is authentic and genuine, it leads to action. Authentic faith activates its mission. It acts in obedience to God's call. The problem is that we use church to excuse ourselves, don't we? Yeah, we do. I'll answer for you. We use church to excuse ourselves. We say, "Well, I'll let someone else do it this time. You know, I'll let someone else do it." And the bigger the church is, the easier it is for that to happen. Wednesday night, I was so encouraged when the enlistment committee brings that report of all the committees and everything that's going on. And I sit there and I look at that and I go, look at all these people that are involved in service. And I meet with those committees. I know that they're doing that. I know that they're being a part of the hands and feet of Christ. And many of you probably don't know what other committees are doing, but there is a lot that is accomplished when everybody pitches in to be a part of it. We should not be part of the crowd that says, "I'm going to sit this one out and let somebody else give. I'm going to sit this one out and let somebody else get involved." There's something for everyone. We need every single believer. There is something that you can do. Your church needs you. But not only that, you need the church. You need to be a part of bigger something, be a part of something bigger than yourself. You need to be a part of the kingdom work. You miss out on blessings if you just wait on the sideline. Get involved. Get engaged. Moses threw all those excuses out. And it says God's anger burned against him. That's not a good place to be. His anger burned against him. And that last excuse, "I'll sit this one out," probably just was kind of the straw that broke the back, so to speak. And God had had enough. And he said, "Moses, who made your mouth? Who gives you everything you have? Moses, it's me, and I can do what I want in your life. Now just stop making excuses." That's a paraphrase, but that's what he said. So I have to embrace my calling. Secondly, I need to stop making excuses. Thirdly, lastly, give God what I'm holding on to. Give God what I'm holding on to. Here's the question that God asked Moses, and he asked us, I think, every single day. What's that in your hand? In Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, it says, "Then the Lord said to him, 'What's that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied, and the Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.'" Well, that probably caught him off guard. Throw it off, what do you mean throw it on the ground? Lord, this is nothing. This is just a shepherd's staff, this old crooked stick. I mean, God, it's not a big deal. And God said, well, if it's no big deal, throw it on the ground. Do what I tell you. Throw it on the ground. God knew it was a big deal. He knew it was Moses' sense of security and identification. He picked it up in the desert, and that became kind of his, what made him feel important, what made him feel useful. And God told him, throw it down, give it up. And that's what he tells us every day. I don't know everything about all of your lives, but I can tell you this. I'm confident that God is doing something in our lives. And one of the things that he's asking us is saying, what's that in your hand? What is it that you're clinging on to so tightly? Is it a business? Is it something you're trying to control? Is it your personal finances? What's that in your hand? Is it a relationship? Is it your reputation? What are you holding on so tightly to? Is it a prized possession? If you hold on to something too tightly, no matter how good it is, it starts to control you. What is it that you are trying to control? That's the question. That's what God was asking Moses, and that's what he's asking every single one of us. What is it? What's in your hand? And you see, Moses learned something very important through this. When he threw that staff down, he learned that he could trust God. Why is that? Well, when we're willing to give God our all, he shows us he is not going to fail us. He is not going to forsake us. Moses had to trust God enough to give up his security and then reach down and pick up that snake. Yes, snake that the rod had turned into. But when he came to the point where he was willing to trust God enough to do it, well, let's see what happened. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 4. So Moses reached out and took a hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Critical moment. When he picked it up, it turned back into a staff. But that staff was no longer just an old crooked stick. It was no longer just a shepherd's staff. Hey, you know, it looked the same probably, but it turned from a shepherd's staff into the rod of God, the all-powerful rod of God, and a symbol of God's power and God's might and God's providence and God's direction. And Moses learned that when you lay things at God's feet, he takes all the things that shouldn't be there and gives it back to you in your destiny. He gives it back fulfilled. He gives it back as something useful to activate our mission in a way that we can never imagine. That old shepherd staff of Moses became the rod of God, the rod that touched the Nile River and turned it to blood, the rod of God that he used to hold up over the Egyptians that they were defeated, the rod of God that he used to strike the rock and the water flowed, and the rod of God that he held up the Red Sea and the water parted. That crooked old stick turned into a symbol of God's providence and power. And he gave it back to Moses because Moses was obedient. So the real question today is, what is it in your hand? What are you trying to control? Give it to God. He cares so much about you, more than you'll ever know. He wants your good more than you even know or could want your own good. You can trust him. He knows what's best. He's the one that planned your destiny. And he's the one that puts every single heartbeat that you have. And he knows you in the very depths of your soul. Let go. Trust God. Moses said, Lord, who shall I say is sending me? And God said, tell them that my name is I Am. I Am is sending you. He's sending me. God's not only a first person God, I, but he's a present tense God, am. He was saying, Moses, I am whatever you need. And today he says to you and I, he says, I am whatever you need. Present tense, I am. Do you have a need? God says, I am your provision. Are you stressed out? God says, I am your peace. I am whatever you need. Are you confused? God says, I am your purpose right now. God says, I am exactly what you need. So what do you need? He says, I am the great I am. I am is sending each and every one of us today. The question, question before us. Will you trust him enough to say yes? Will you allow him to activate your mission? It is a choice. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, the choice before us, knowing we have so many faults, we have all the objections, we have exactly the same kind of emotions that Moses did. The question before us, and we understand, is whether we're going to give you control of our life or whether we're going to cling to it ourselves. Father, we pray that we would, through your strength, claim the promises of your plan for our life. That we would turn loose of everything that we value and trust and hold dear to us and give it to you, knowing that you will give back the best, that you will give back exactly what we need, that life will be richer and fuller, full of purpose and peace, joy, and love. God, give us the strength to say yes. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Songs of second birth.
you do not have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the starting point. I need to square that away first. I'd be glad to talk with you. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I'd be glad to talk with you here or call me this week. We'll get together, talk about that relationship. If you're here and you're a believer and you say, but Raymond, I'm really just afraid to kind of turn things over. I'm really afraid just to completely trust God. I hope that His Spirit has spoken to you this morning. And you can certainly pray where you are. You can come to the altar here and pray there. You can talk with me. I'll be glad to pray with you, whatever. But square that away with God. Just turn loose and let Him be Lord of your life. There's nothing more freeing. You think you have freedom now. You don't know anything until you just turn it over. Let Him work through you. If you're here and you say, I'd really like to be a member at College Park, we receive members in many ways, I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Following the benediction and the response, I hope that you will greet each other, encourage one another, offer a word of encouragement, and then go from this place. I invite people to come back, be with us tonight. Come enjoy the fellowship, the good food, and candy. All right, let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it is a glorious day. The weather is beautiful. Your Spirit is gracious. Your Spirit is forgiving. Your Spirit is abundant. Father, we pray that as we go from here, that your Spirit would guide us. It would challenge us, correct us, and encourage us as we, Father, seek to be obedient to the calling that you've placed upon our life. Help us to go with joy and a sense of anticipation of what you're going to do through us this week. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.